Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestling culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick and Sir, we are gathered here. We are socially distanced here today, for now at least, to talk about, I can't believe I'm about to say this, CM Punk making his wrestling return. Now, I will caveat this, as I often do, by saying we are recording this on Thursday afternoon and it's going to go out around Saturday lunchtime, so things may have drastically changed in the interim. But Michael Hamflett, first and foremost, tell me your reaction when this news broke last night on Twitter.
Well, I couldn't get my breath back because I was just running so many victory laps from saying this all along. I always said CM Punk would return to wrestling. I don't recall anybody else on the internet suggesting that CM Punk would one day be back. I don't remember anybody digging their heels in and stubbornly believing that point other than me. See, what's happened is, Wilborn, like, in your hand, the microphone is a lovely hosting gig. In my hand, it's a pipe bam where I just steal your bit. No, all cynicism aside and rage that you would be able to lord this over us for weeks on end. I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled. I had about 15 ideas at once, which is why my Twitter became content spew for the better part of an hour as they all just fell out of my head in excitement. So the whole thing, I'll be honest, felt triangulated. As you say, we're recording this shortly after Dynamite, but before a weekend where news could break beyond anything we are going to say in this podcast. But there was a certain triangulation, it felt like, at play between the news of a potential Daniel Bryan signing and a potential CM Punk signing. And somebody asked me while Dynamite was on Twitter, who, like, would I be more excited about debuting suddenly? Would it be Punk or would it be Bryan? And everybody loves Daniel Bryan. Of course they do. Everybody loves him. And yet, my answer was CM Punk. That miserable bastard walked away. Here's my selfish, entitled wrestling take. I want you to sign my cup and poster at the airport so I can sell it on eBay. There's the guy that, like, he was talking about in that pipe bomb. That miserable bastard left a hole in my heart before I was ready for it. Mm. Like, he did the best he could in that soul-crushing environment, and he did it until he could do it no more. And I respect his being able to say enough. But me, the greedy consumer, hadn't had enough. And I didn't know when enough was as a CM. Like, I liked CM Punk, but I wouldn't call myself, he wasn't like my favorite wrestler. I just thought he was a really important, like, part of the WWE that I was trying to like. And when he left, yes, it opened up the world for Daniel Bryan. Of course, it, like, changed WrestleMania so substantially that WWE finally had no choice but to go with Bryan at WrestleMania 30. But just as a bigger picture, I was angry. I was excited for Punk's interaction with so many of these new guys coming through NXT. The Shield feud, that was pretty much the last thing he did, was like a nice teaser of all that to come. I love that whenever you'd get these bollocks in-ring segments with like so Triple H and Randy Orton and that, you could rely on a CM Punk to be giggling in the background in a hoodie instead of wearing a suit and looking all serene and like forlorn. I just, I missed that rebellious spirit that I think CM Punk brought, even when his own spirit was crushed. So this possible return, and not just to WWE, but to AEW, is like every kind of thrilling. Honestly, we talked about this on the review podcast with Nick Gage. There's a thrill to that because it's like anybody, pick your favorite wrestler and there's a chance they might show up in AEW. CM Punk proves that surely to some sort of infinite end. There will be no wrestler that you can't name that could rock up in this promotion if CM Punk appears. Mm. He feels like a certain final destination for any speculation being referred to as fantasy booking. Like, this is the end of fantasy booking if CM Punk arrives in AEW. It's completed. Everything after that just becomes educated guesswork because CM Punk, like, he was always the level. And it's that kind of thrilling. Very, very unique, like, brand of excitement that is exclusive to being a wrestling fan in 2021. It's exclusive to being a fan in 2021 when fans have come back, and it's exclusive to being a fan in 2021 when fans have come back and there is an opposition to WWE. It took an awful lot of circumstances for us to reach this point.
Yeah. We should probably deal with the elephant in the room, seeing as I am Nostradamus. I'll be honest, I was already celebrating that victory lap because technically, I think you'll find on our reflections on our 2020 predictions video, which I openly admit, saying CM Punk was going to come out number 30 in the 2020 Royal Rumble, slightly missed the mark, granted, yeah, allow that. But ongoing global bastard, maybe it would have happened last year, blah, blah, blah. Technically, I said he would appear in a wrestling ring in 2021. And he did, I think, already, because he was on that Heels TV show. I've not watched it, but I've heard that he was involved in it with Stephen Amell. So already won, but this obviously is slightly different in terms of correct prediction for me. In that video, I talked about the fact that he said there were two conditions for him returning to wrestling. And that is obviously just a boatload of money, which WWE and AEW has, and a storyline he would genuinely want to be a part of. Now, 7 years has passed since obviously he walked out after the 2014 Royal Rumble. And much has gone on, not just in the world of wrestling, but for CM Punk, obviously. We had the Colt Cabana podcast. We had a fallout from the Colt Cabana podcast. We had his stint in the UFC, which no doubt we'll get into in potential dream matches and dream promo offs, which we'll talk about. He's done movie stuff as well. He did stuff on Backstage. He works for Fox, not WWE, blah, blah, blah. But why do you think, potentially at least, he could be returning now?
I think there feels like a certain thirst in the air, and I understand this completely, for performers in all genres to want to get back what the pandemic had taken away from them for the longest time. And has maybe since given them a new appreciation for. Mm. I don't think this is just isolated to pro wrestling. I think it's isolated to the music industry. At various points in my own pandemic sadness last year, I reached out to several of my favorite bands who have long since split up, if they were available on Twitter. I won't name any of them. And I developed a bit of a reputation as the gig whisperer, because suddenly there's been a few getting back together or do first album tours or anniversary tours or whatever. And if you're an artist, and you knew there was an audience potentially out there that wanted to pay to see you do the thing that they loved you for, when 16, 17 months made it appear as if that sort of thing would never happen again, it would give you the thirst, wouldn't it? It would give you the inclination. Everything you've just mentioned about CM Punk there, it was always about the money and always about the story. That's as well as maybe. But that was kind of a safe answer from, what, about 2018, 2019 onwards, when he was doing little bits here and there for Starcade, the wraparound content for AEW and for All In and things like that. It was an easy answer then, because he could just hedge his bets a little bit. What if AEW had been a complete disaster and he'd hitched himself to that early doors and then was associated with its failure or something like that? He didn't need the money and he didn't need the physical damage of returning to wrestling. So he sat back and he waited and he watched. AEW has only gone from strength to strength ever since then. He has, for the most part, not been able to do, the other outside of wrestling things he was interested in. And crowds are back and money is available. And AEW have kind of now got 2 years of television pedigree suggests that they will look after the story and they will look after the performer and they will protect that character's best interests. So if all of that was true, I want cash and I want good creative, they've probably arrived at his door with an offer that feels real because they've said, well, just watch our show to see how good your creative would be. And here's your check. Here's the amount of zeros on or whatever. It just feels like, I don't think he was telling the whole truth, which why would you? You've got to kind of keep some cards close to your vest. But the things that he did talk openly about have now probably been comfortably addressed by AEW. So it just feels, as they head back to Chicago, which was always a home base for them, that in itself feels like an easy win. It's got to be good for the ego, hasn't it? It's got to placate a wrestler vanity to know that your hometown will be hanging on everybody's word, hoping that the next name out of their mouth is CM Punk.
Yeah. I always thought when he was talking about this, that it was sort of a false summit, the money thing. I always thought that in reality, it's a story he wants. Because like you say, he doesn't need it. He and his wife, he's effectively Mr. AJ Lee, because AJ was doing such great stuff outside of wrestling as well, that yeah, they ain't struggling, it's fair to say, regardless of his foray, let's say, into cage fighting. They ain't struggling, and they benefited off the back of that as well. Because I remember, was it Five Star Wrestling? You were like, we're going to give you $1 million. And he was like, oh, yeah, but also, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was a surreal story. And, you know, I think that is why. So this story was reported, remind me again, was it Sean Ross Sapp?
Yes, Sean Ross Sapp Fight.
Through Fight for Select. Reporting the story. Every mention of CM Punk is something we remember. There's not many of them. And whether it be through the Cabana case or whether it be through that Five Star Wrestling story, his value has remained high enough that he is always a talking point. And the reason this feels so real is because I don't think Sean Ross Sapp would have felt confident to attach his name to this had he not been able to somehow corroborate it. If the story goes absolutely nowhere and talk of CM Punk sinks below the surface yet again, it will do damage to the very, very strong reputation of Sean Ross Sapp, won't it?
Mm.
So I think there's really, really feel there feels reason for there to be plenty of smoke, plenty of fire. I've absolutely bodged that completely. What I'm saying is, I think it's true. I think it's absolutely true because I just don't think at this point anybody would stake their journalistic reputations on a CM Punk story, lest it feel like empty speculation.
Now, we are assuming he's going to AEW, and this, you know, may well be already sort of old news by the time this podcast comes out. But the way Sean Ross Sapp, you know, worded this is he said that, you know, the most obvious thing that you could expect is the most realistic destination right now is AEW. But in-ring wrestling return doesn't automatically rule out WWE, does it? And with this news bouncing around, you'll bet your bottom dollar that they are suddenly very bothered about having CM Punk back in WWE. Is there any chance? What would WWE have to do almost to bring him back?
I mean, yeah, I have absolutely no doubt the nature of the wrestling beast will make it that this story breaking will have just upped CM Punk's value to WWE exponentially. There will be a call on his phone today, if it's not already happened, that says WWE. But I mean, again, this is that empty speculation I'm talking about, the sort of thing that Sean Ross Sapp wouldn't do. So take this with a pinch of whatever, because this is just my personal view. Even if CM Punk goes to Stamford, Connecticut and takes a meeting, right? Bear in mind, let's assume that he's met with AEW or he's at least had phone conversations or whatever with Tony Khan or Cody or the Young Bucks or whomever, and there is something very appealing on the table to an audience that would adore him, with a bunch of wrestlers that he would probably really get his kicks out of working with. There was a tweet a little while ago where he name-checked several of them. Jungle Boy and Darby Allin were two that spring to mind. Powerhouse Hobbs, another, I think, of people he would love to work with. Contrast that with him going to meet at Titan Tower with Triple H, who says, hey, Punk, we'd love to have you back. I think me and you could do great business at WrestleMania. And we'll talk about who's going to get the win this time. But you sign on the dotted line, and I think it's going to be a good day for the Straight Edge Society, and then cut to Pedigree victory. the guy they kind of had to force an on-screen feud with because he'd ethered him so much in their in the original Pipe Bomb stuff. John Laurinaitis is back in the same spot he was in when Punk was livid with him last time. And at the last minute of this meeting, where CM Punk is meeting with people that he just has no respect for, Vince McMahon walks in the door, says, "Where the hell have you been?" And then walks back out again, like he did for the SmackDown audience. It's not exactly the most appealing pitch in comparison to, let's pretend, with an identical amount of money, an AEW one, is it? It doesn't feel speculatively like something. It depends as well. Like, we don't know Punk's financial situation. Does he have the financial independence to just flat out say no with a big grin on his face to WWE while entertaining an offer from AEW? You know, we don't know. It would be professional, I guess, to listen to what they have to say, but it's very hard to imagine that, like, one stands a chance of competing with the other. I don't know. Never say never in wrestling, ever. But it just doesn't seem like WWE can put forth the package that AEW would be able to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Let's talk about him in AEW then, because, you know, people have speculated, and we'll talk about dream matches in due course and when he may make that return. We sort of alluded to when we expect that could possibly happen. But some people I saw online immediately were like, well, yeah, good luck with CM Punk, 42 years old and all that. But let's not forget, he hasn't wrestled in 7 years. He had two fights in the UFC, which he lost comprehensively, but he didn't take brutal damage. Let's be perfectly honest, I've seen a lot worse as a UFC fan over the years. And for all people saying 42, he's past it, AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley seem to be doing all right for themselves, don't they?
Yeah, this is another thing about age and wrestling. And for one, there's no exact science to it anyway. For another, I feel like we've talked about this a lot over the years on a variety of different subjects. It's not that your age ain't nothing but a number, but if you're physically good to go, then your TV age is as relevant as anything else. And CM Punk has had 7 years away from screens. So what do you say, 42?
I think so, yeah.
Is at the moment. You can as good as deduct about five of those if you discount the odd appearances he's done here and there. So it puts him at about 37 in television years. The guy that left the Royal Rumble was 35. And it doesn't feel like he's really, as a wrestler, aged much ever since then. You know, he's not aged in any of our hearts. You would imagine the CM Punk that came back would be the CM Punk that walked away. That's like, it's sometimes, to be honest, the cruelty of wrestling. But I think in this case, it's ideal because it's the exact manifestation of the guy you want to see, not an older guy, not somebody with different tattoos or different hairs or an off-putting wrinkle, one of them unfortunate aesthetic changes that kind of forces you to adjust your perception of the wrestler that, like, you know, you've kind of forgotten about all those years earlier. It's not frigging Jake Roberts coming back, you know? It's a CM Punk that's probably be able to recover his body and keep fit. I that's not something I hold. To be honest as well, I don't always let it hold too much stock in WWE. Damian Priest gets a lot of pelters because it's quite funny to say the youngster is 39 years old. That's funny. But the reality is, in terms of the main roster, that character is 6 months old. Like, he's barely had any feuds. Most of the things he does is brand new. It doesn't matter particularly if he's 39 or 29. If he can give you 5 good years, then, like, that age really is certainly not in their 30s and 40s. Maybe different when you get into the 50s and 60s, obviously, because of wear and tear and how much the wrestlers want to do it and their outside interests and stuff. But, yeah, not. I just don't think it's a consideration. I really don't.
Before we get on to sort of dream matches and what he could do in AEW, I'm going to ask this as well in my podcast, which should be out tomorrow, barring any major news developments ahead of the weekend regarding Daniel Bryan and AEW with Michael Sidgwick. Is this akin to Hogan going to WCW for these two?
Sort of. I think, you know, they weren't always, as has sadly been the case with, you know, your favourite pro wrestlers, pick them of every era. But it brings me no joy to say that Bret Hart wasn't an obvious box office needle mover, despite the vital contributions to the company. In the very short term, I think it would have the same effect as Hogan and WCW, because I would expect, if promoted effectively, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan on a Dynamite to do up, like, around the 1.5 to 2 million viewers. I think you'd get that straight away. I think you could sell a record number of pay-per-views promoting the CM Punk fight. I think you could convince people to buy the replay of All Out if he debuted there, shockingly. I think you could sell tickets off the back of a promised CM Punk appearance. So early doors, absolutely transformative effect. And then it's what happens with that transformative effect, isn't it? It's what happens, how long before the perception becomes the reality and somewhere looks like the big leagues. I don't think that Bryan and Punk are... If you don't want to see AEW as a big league organisation, I don't think Bryan and Punk are going to change your mind. But they may capture the interest of a channel hopper. And in this era of fragmented content where you can barely even watch the thing you're watching without having a little look at your phone at the same time, that's pretty valuable, you know? Like, that is genuinely valuable. It's becoming a weaker take by the week with some of Jim Ross's bad calls. But that was the rationale with Jim Ross, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, his voice was going to be there virtually all the time. And who knows who might look up from the other thing they're doing and be like, ah, it's Jim Ross. That's the wrestling. I remember the wrestling. Oh, look, it's Chris Jericho. You know, like, theoretically, yeah, that was the rationale. Punk and Bryan absolutely fall into that category and booked well and booked with commitment. With things like local markets, to where they go down really well in front of hot crowds, so it could be mega effective. It could be super effective. It's another. They'd certainly haul them up to, like, the next level on whatever this mythical mainstream hierarchy. Wherever they are now, it would be a bump. I'm not saying it would be this, like, huge, right, they're as big as WWE now, but I think perception wise, they could really start approaching that conversation.
Absolutely. Let's talk. I will get, like, you to get to your dream match pitches in a second. But before that, let's talk about when he could appear in a ring. And like you say, we're all assuming, I think quite rightly, that it could well be All Out. AEW's next proper pay-per-view goes down September 5th in Chicago, Illinois, of all places, in the, I think it's called the Now Arena. Yes, there we go. Now, I will point out, at time of recording, because I think it was someone tweeted saying, well, if he doesn't show up at All Out, people are going to be pissed. And Sean Rossat was like, just to clarify, I never actually said he'd show up anywhere, especially not at a specific pay-per-view or anything like that. But AEW got, like, if he does go to AEW, let's just say for argument's sake, to book this, if he does go to AEW, there's quite a few opportunities. It's not like it's All Out or bust, is it? Now, obviously, contractual, you know, negotiations. It's not like, I think Bryan is far closer to being unveiled, for example, than CM Punk. You've got All Out. You've got the big Arthur Ashe show in New York, of course. You've got the debut of AEW Rampage. And wasn't Punk on the debut of Main Event, if I'm not mistaken? Like, is it straightforward as saying, yeah, it's going to be All Out, or it's not going to be anything? Or AEW, like, you look at someone like Malakai Black, they can just pull stuff from out of nowhere sometimes, can't they? And that's maybe the beauty of it all. Also,
yeah,
if Colt Cabana stood in the middle of the ring it all out, then yeah, I'd put all my money on that.
Yeah, I think it's more of an interesting conversation to think, well, maybe it's not going to be all out. For one, there is a problem that I've not seen raised much online that worries me and troubles me a little bit about All Out. If CM Punk debuts at All Out, and I understand why people have jumped to that conclusion, CM Punk debuts at All Out, that is the story of All Out. And what else is potentially going to be happening at All Out?
Yeah.
Hangman Page is potentially going to be winning the World Heavyweight title from Kenny Omega. Maybe. But what's the story of CM Punk debuts? It's CM Punk's debut. It's not anything to do with the existing roster. It's not anything to do with the titles changing hands. Go on, you've got a look on your face.
Well, I just thought the perfect, and I'm treading all over your toes, I do apologise here, of Hangman Page wins, big champagne, whiskey, beer celebration in the middle of the ring, and Straight Edge Boy comes down to knock all that.
Looks at it all in total disgust, yeah. Like, it's cool, it is cool, but like that becomes the story, doesn't it? Hangman Page almost loses his moment. However, and I think this is where you can have both. I think this is where you can have your straight-edged cake and eat it too. AEW have got, I could be wrong about this, I think I might have added one show here, Dynamite, Rampage, All Out, Dynamite in Chicago. It's kind of a WrestleMania revive that way. I think. It's at least three shows. If you were super clever and you do a Malakai Black type deal on, say, the Dynamite, and then on Rampage, where he just, oh my God, it's CM Punk, he's in Chicago, what does he want? And then on Rampage, you say, CM Punk will be at All Out. So you've given more people another reason to buy the pay-per-view. Hangman Page remains the story, CM Punk remains the draw, and you've got the best of everything.
Yeah.
For it, like, and if you even need to, you're flogging more tickets, aren't you? Because the buzz, the hype, the everything would be absolutely enormous. So they could be creative in that regard. Arthur Ashe was another thing you mentioned. We've been kind of talking about this for weeks. We've just had the second week of Fighter Fest. We're about to have Fight for the Fallen. Arthur Ashe is to come. There's a pay-per-view, a small matter of a pay-per-view, a small matter of a brand new show debuting on television. AEW have had all these things that need filling with loads of big stuff, loads of marquee wrestling, and they're doing it. It's really impressive that they're doing it, they're managing it. But it doesn't hurt to have a CM Punk in your back pocket for one of those. So yes, like, I love the idea of Arthur Ashe as well. They are, yes, it wouldn't be in Chicago, but you could get the noise of a Chicago debut again at a TV taping, for example, at which point he says, and next week on Dynamite in, I don't know, Bumsville, Oklahoma, I'm going to be there in person to explain why I chose AEW. It's going to sell the building out, isn't it?
Mm.
I understand and love like the need for a surprise as much in wrestling as much as anything. I get it. There are ways for you to get both out of this. And I really hope they do. I hope you get the absolute, like, jump out of your chair at daft o'clock in the morning, surprise reaction of a CM Punk landing in AEW, but I genuinely think there's a way to make the best of him at All Out without inadvertently killing the moment. The other option, of course, is, and we have tiptoed around this, Hangman Page loses to Kenny Omega All Out, and then Punk debuts. What that is doing is elongating the Hangman Page redemption arc, but it is immediately putting Kenny Omega on notice that the best in the world has arrived and he's got one eye on the title. You know, it's all sorts. There's a lot of ways they can do it, and how could we not trust them to get it right?
Mm. Or it could be
something. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's debuts. They could get it horribly, horribly wrong, couldn't they? but Punk, again, Punk has always feels like the outlier.
Just want to reiterate a point. I'm going to never actually drop this through line. You're regretting calling it Rampage and not AEW Fuse for the pipe bomb now. Just a thought.
Oh, that would have been so funny.
Right, let's have it then. Dream matches. Obviously, we're mainly going to focus on AEW here, but I've no doubt, just to quickly cover it off, a CM Punk versus Roman Reigns in the streak that he's on right now match would be sensational. But yeah, you talked about the fact that the moment you saw this, you were booking fantasy matches on Twitter, etc., and everyone has been. What are some dream matches you'd like to see for CM Punk if he does step back between those ropes?
This sort of feels like superfluous podcast content at this point because it has just filled the timelines, hasn't it? But we've got to go obvious. CM Punk versus Chavo Guerrero. CM Punk versus the Big Show. CM Punk versus Billy Gunn. CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes. Like, why would you not now? Of course, I'm being ridiculous. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. The two biggest stars in the hottest feud would also have massive star-laden hot feuds with CM Punk. It kind of goes without saying on both counts. Omega and Punk is a wrestling dream match of which there are very few that exist. Two that have both been considered and called the best in the world. Two kind of like iconoclastic figures. Punk and Hangman Page is delicious because of the characteristics of the men themselves. Punk and Cody, although I included him in the sarcastic list, offers something brand new because, and I, like anyone that has the misfortune of accidentally hitting follow on my Twitter account would have noticed this yesterday, Cody Rhodes has done what the pipe bomb set out to do in WWE. He just went and found a way to form a company instead. And it's amazing that Brian and Punk, the wrestlers that were the only ones from within that were trying to like restore that vision, could potentially be signing at the same time in Cody's company. But it's a pretty cool way to turn Cody heel of having Punk come back and saying, oh, yeah, nice to have you here. You didn't quite get it done, did you? Look at all I've done. And finally let Cody just like turn that arrogance up. The arrogance that he constantly keeps balanced with that earnest baby face glint in his eye just suddenly becomes a pretty big response from these guys. You're welcome. You know, just some, like, and then they're off to the races. That's a different dynamic then, isn't it? Like, it just that sort of Cody and I think Punk dynamic would be fantastic.
What's AEW? It's only the company that Over the Limit could have been. That's why I want to Daniel Bryan. Another obvious one is, of course, I mean, it's an open, straight edge goal, Punk and Darby Allin.
Punk and Darby Allin. Punk as a heel, go to sleeps, Sting. sets up a match with Darby Allin. Punk and Darby Allin, Punk and Jungle Boy, Punk and Sammy Guevara, Punk actually doing Chris Jericho's podcast and saying there was a reason why I wouldn't speak to you all those years ago, you goddamn clout-grabbing rock star, but I'm here now.
I'm just going to say it. I don't care if it's the worst match AEW has ever put on. The promos will be worth it. The first person who needs to respond to CM Punk has to be my best friend, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who could actually get some MMA-based patter over rather than Steph going, oh, he didn't last very long, did he, in the UFC? Because just, yeah. Oh, please, please.
And as well, and this isn't my fantasy booking, but God, I wished it was. It was all out there yesterday. My thirst for a single backstage moment. And I mean, I will literally take, oh, how have you been? Yeah, good. As CM Punk passes Serena Deeb in a corridor, I would be left a pool of my own detritus should that occur. And that's without putting Punk with the Good Brothers as a trio to have the gallows reunion, because that's going to be more brothery. Aye, the little moment of, oh, how you doing? And Serena Deeb just replies, yeah, I'm not bad. I'm the best in the world. How you been? And then she just walks back off down the corridor. Like, it's just, yeah. And it's the thing is, this is why we keep going back to, you know, we can't rule out WWE. Well, we can, because it's either all of everything I've just said or Kane. So, your choice.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hey, we've gone this far. We might as well go, ironically, all in. We talked about Brian, or we've read about Brian wanted to sign with AEW because of the certainly ease compared to WWE of working with New Japan. Could we get Punk versus Kazuchika Okada, for example?
Oh, Jesus Christ, of course we could. Nick Gage is fighting Chris Jericho, Will Bond. Yeah, who do you want? Like, do you want Punk Tanahashi? Do you want Punk Ishii? You know, do you want Punk to work a G1 if he's paid well enough? Do you want Punk versus Toriano? Punk versus Jay White? Feels like I'm arranging a list of 10. Somebody should really start a website where we can collate some of them. But like, it's a straight edge buffet. Treat yourself.
It is honestly mouthwatering. And let's not forget, we dismissed WWE, and I said, you know, obviously Punk versus Reigns. That'd be very WWE to sign him and then go, right, go and learn how to wrestle again down in NXT. But if they did that, there could be some, you know, 7-star matches down there, let's be honest.
Yeah, Punk versus Cameron Grimes. Went straight for the heart there, didn't I? Punk versus Zap Gibson.
Oh my God, the promo off.
The never paid off battle to find out who was the real leader of Nexus between Punk and Wade Barrett.
Don't know if you heard of him.
It's fine, but none of it's as good as it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I spewed so many thoughts onto Twitter. I'm apologizing for repeating so many. He rocked upon backstage saying he was going to change the culture, implying that the culture needed changing. That would be the task at hand if he went to NXT or WWE. Mm. There is no culture in need of change in AEW. It is the one that he can fit into and adapt to and enjoy.
Just got a message through. Sorry, turns out Sean Ross Sapp's report was fake. I'm joking, but let's be honest, anything could happen in the next 48 hours after this sodding podcast gets recorded. But for the time being, if this is still valid,
he's going to work a Hell in a Cell on SmackDown this Friday. We're just going to text each other on Saturday morning, fuming that cult of personality hit at the end of SmackDown. Michael Cole, oh my God! And it's like, all right, chuck it in the bin. Chuck it in the bin. Good work. Another one for the scrap heap. more doom for the banter boys.
Well, let us know your thoughts, regardless of what's happened in the interim, about CM Punk potentially returning to a wrestling ring, wherever that may be, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, there you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE and subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling for more as this story develops and for daily wrestling podcasts. And of course, you can keep up to date with this as well by checking out WhatCulture.com. by some of our brilliant writers who cover this, and we'll probably be writing a few top 10 lists, as Hamflett alluded to as well. But for now, this has been Get the Table. It is a phenomenal time to be a wrestling fan. Never forget that. It's been a rough 18 months, but you know what? Hey, we all right. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.